Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us right now, Joseph LeConte, director of the B. Kenneth Simon Center for American Studies at the Heritage Foundation, joins us. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Neil. Great to be with you.
So, Doc, we got a lot of people tearing down a lot of things. The mob mentality seems to be going strong, and we're tearing down statues that I don't even understand why we're tearing them down. I think a lot of people are scratching their head wondering, where's this all going?
Yeah, I don't think many of the people who are tearing down the statues know why they're tearing down the statues. No, this is where emotions have trumped reason. We have people emotionally unhinged. It's the age of rage. And I think what's important to keep in mind here is that this is not just an assault on monuments. It's really an assault, I think, on the deepest values and institutions of Western civilization. Not only the United States here is under assault. Our friends in Great Britain are experiencing a very similar phenomenon with the mobs going after Winston Churchill, as you might know. I mean, if there's any single individual in the 20th century who could be credited with helping to rescue Western civilization from the brink, it would be Winston Churchill. And then now they have to board up his statue. So American presidents are not going to be immune to this assault. No one will be immune ultimately from this rage. And that ought to concern every American.
So when you see that being done of statues of individuals that, you know, no, there's nobody perfect, but doesn't that reveal a little bit of the underbelly of the intent here, that this is really about anarchy and you know, this Marxist approach, that any figure of authority of the governmental infrastructure of a country needs to go?
Yeah, Neil, I think what is at work, and I'm not a psychologist, but I'm an historian, but let's do a little armchair psychology here. It seems to me we have, whatever the good intentions of some of the people involved in the movement here, in this quote-unquote social justice, a more just America, I think we have a group of embittered utopians. We have a bunch of people who they have these utopian ideas about what a just and egalitarian society can look like. It is absolutely informed by leftist Marxist ideology. I mean, they are open about that. It's not concealed. You just need to visit the websites and listen to the statements and quotations, the banners that are being flown. There's no question there's a Marxist link here, and that tells us we have a group of embittered utopians who are dead set against what we would consider to be our own constitutional system, government by consent of the governed.
When we combine that with what's going on with getting very aggressive with anybody that kind of speaks out or says something that the other side doesn't like or tries to cancel any part of
yeah.
it, it's almost as though it enrages them even more. Surprisingly, yeah. and maybe not so surprisingly, over the past couple of days, a number of liberal writers have collectively banded together and have said, we better be careful. You know, our craft of being writers and talking about things may be yeah. gone forever because they're trying yeah. to stymie and stifle us and not have an opinion about anything.
That's exactly right. Free speech now, this cherished American freedom, is under threat in a major way, in a way we really haven't seen in this country, I think, ever. And if I had to give an historical analogy here, my friend, it would be the French Revolution. French Revolution started out with very similar kind of language and ideals with the American Revolution: liberty, equality, fraternity. Well, the radicals in that revolution, the Jacobins, they took it in the most violent, extreme direction it could possibly go, and it led to the guillotine, Robespierre and company. Anyone not sufficiently on board, sufficiently loyal to their revolutionary ideals, was going to literally have his head cut off. And that's what we've got now. It's the spirit of Robespierre, the new Jacobins, are what are driving, I think, this movement, this rage, this violence in the streets. And we better get a grip on it. And I think more liberal-minded, centrist people of good conscience, they can stand with conservatives on this, and try to check this storm of irrationality and leftist madness.
We're talking to Joseph Leconte, director of the B. Kenneth Simon Center for American Studies at the Heritage Foundation. I did a piece yesterday where I said that our leaders are people in position of leadership, government leaders, have failed in leadership. And in many respects, I really believe it's about fear more than anything else, and the inability and desire to consume political capital. And so they turn their head, and I'm not a big Macron fan, the president of France, but he took a whole different path. And you cite this in your article, and I found it to be very interesting. Quote, he says, "I will be very clear tonight, compatriots. The Republic won't erase any name from its history. It will forget none of its artworks, and it won't take down statues." Why the difference here?
Yes, that's an excellent question. When and with all due respect to our French friends, when the French political leadership shows more moral backbone than our own political leaders here in the United States, you know there's trouble in River City, right?
Yeah.
It is. You put your finger on it. The fear factor, the absolute fear factor. There's a line from Winston Churchill here where he says, "Courage is the first of human qualities because it's the quality that guarantees all of the others." And the deficit of courage right now, not only among our political leaders, Newell, but also among almost every sector of society. I mean, think about the way that corporate moguls at Apple, Disney, ESPN, Google, Nike, how they're kowtowing to the Chinese on that score. Yeah. As you look at what's happening in Hong Kong,
these are our alleged intellectuals, by the way, as well, right?
That's absolutely right. The academics, the media moguls, all kowtowing to the left, to China, as those brave 20-somethings have been clamoring and protesting peacefully for their freedom over there in Hong Kong, whereas our own politicians, our own media moguls, they just cave in to the mob. It's so disheartening, potentially, but it's also a clarifying moment. It's a time for men and women of real conscience and courage to stand up and shine a light in the darkness.
You know, the Prime Minister in the UK as well, Boris Johnson, has taken a very strong stand, too, as it relates to this, especially the attacks on Churchill.
And that's exactly right.
You know, we know the role that he played in world politics leading up into World War II and throughout World War II. Was he perfect? No, none of these people are perfect, and none of us are perfect. But it's almost as though, as you said, in this utopian world, we're looking for this perfect ideology symbol. And I don't know that you can find that. First off, I don't think it exists.
No, I think one way to think about this, without getting too spiritual on us here, is that, think about it. If you don't have, a religious orientation and outlook, some connection to the transcendent, something that gives your life ultimate meaning, you're going to search for something to substitute that. If it's not a Jewish or Christian or other religious worldview, you're going to fill that void, that desire, with some other ideology. It will become an idol. And I think the social justice movement, the leftist Marxist radicals that are driving much of this, this is a substitute religion for them, because they certainly are behaving like members of a cult. And we've got to check it. We've got to stand up. We've got to check it with calm reason, with integrity, with persuasion, and with a different a narrative, a more truthful narrative about the American story, and more broadly, the story of the West and what we've been able to achieve here.
So how does this thing dissipate, be to a point where we can actually have an open and honest conversation? Because it seems to me that early on, the leadership failed, they succumbed, they didn't hold anybody accountable for the vandalism, criminal behavior, and otherwise. They made demands, they were met, they got what they wanted, and it was almost as if there was a little bit of a pause for maybe a half a day, and they were like, well, shit, they gave us what we wanted.
Yeah.
What now? And
yeah.
And it seemed as though the demand started getting crazier and crazier, and now when you look in Seattle, I mean, half of the demands there are in violation of the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's the right question to ask, Newell, although as an historian, I feel ill-equipped to try to answer it except to think about some historical analogies. When leaders in different sectors of society would push back against the madness of their own day. And that's where, back to Churchill in the 1920s and 30s, particularly 1930s, with the gathering storm of fascism, you had not only Churchill and his own kind of band of brothers who stood against this, but you had people like J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. I'm actually working on a film project on these two guys and their friendship in the way that they pushed back against the madness through their writing, through their creative work, their imagination, and offered a more hopeful, heroic vision for what human civilization could be. And remember, these guys all had a ringside seat in the 1930s to the worst ideologies you could imagine. Communism, fascism, eugenics, scientism, all of that is on the march in the 1930s. Right. And men and women of goodwill will start pushing back. So I think we can do it. But we're going to have to identify those people and give them a little help and encouragement in different sectors of society. There's no single political fix for this problem. I think because it's so cultural and so deep.
Does anything about this give you hope when you look back in history? Where do you find hope as we deal with this issue in this country today, that maybe we get to hit the pause button and reflect and have this conversation?
Yeah, that's a great question to ask. Let me go back again to some of these figures from the 1930s. This group of writers, Tolkien, Lewis, and the Inklings at Oxford, who are trying to retrieve the heroic tradition in a time when it's really been under assault. But then also these political leaders, particularly Churchill and his band, who, despite the cost to themselves politically, the real threat of being forced, kept out of power for the rest of their lives, political power, they simply stood their ground and bore witness to the truth as they understood it. So, and look at the results. At the end of the day, you know, Great Britain could not have won the war against the Nazis by itself, but it could have lost the war. Because if they'd not stood their ground from 1939 to 1941, there would have been no Normandy invasion, right? There would have been no beachhead for Americans to launch that invasion. So men and women can emerge. They have to be encouraged, I think, throughout the different sectors of society.
Well, thank you so much today for joining us. We really appreciate it. Loved your article. Love your comments, your insight. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Newell. Great being with you. Take care.
All right. That's Dr. Joseph LeConte, director of the B. Kenneth Simon Center for American Studies at the Heritage Foundation. We'll be right back, 260-1870, or text 260-1870. What are your thoughts when we return?
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.